Welcome to the Fit Dad Fitness Podcast with your host, Michael Ashford. Being a fit dad takes commitment, effort, discipline, and enthusiasm when it comes to your fitness and your family. And at the Fit Dad Fitness Podcast, it's all about encouraging fathers to live an active, involved, healthy life with their children by bringing you interviews and content with real dads who are doing just that.
Welcome to the Fit Dad Fitness Podcast and episode 336. I hope your December has gotten off to a great start. I hope that the pressure and the anxiety and the stress that comes along with this time of the year, and this year of all years, I hope you're not experiencing that this year. I hope that things are going well for you and that you and your family are safe and healthy, and all the best to you. Guys, I just, as is typical this time of year, to reflect back and be thankful of what you have and what has happened. This has been an interesting year, I think. I know. And I just hope that we choose to focus on the positives. We choose to focus on what we have right in front of us and not dwell on what we don't have. I think that can be misguided if we go down that path. So not trying to play the role of psychologist here, just giving you my thoughts of where we're at. And, you know, it's this time of year where these kinds of thoughts, they just spring up out of nowhere, guys. Before I get into introducing today's guest here on the show, and I've got a really good one lined up for you, as I always say, but I think you guys know, I tend to deliver. I think I do, you know, if I do say so myself. I love the guests that come on this show each and every week, guys. Before I do that, I do want to, again, shout out Explora Watches, Explora Digital Watches. You know, I said last week, the peace of mind that you get with a watch like this for your kids, where you can call them, you can message them, you know where they're at because of the GPS location. They can send an SOS message if they're in trouble. My wife and I were in the car the other day just talking about this, how having both of our children with these watches now and us being able to call them and message them no matter where they're at, it has just relieved so much stress, so much anxiety, and that push-pull that I talked about last week on last week's episode, where you want them to be free and explore the world around them, but you also want to know that they're safe. Man, times have changed, right? I know the statistics say that we are living in the safest time ever, but tell that to a parent who doesn't know where their kid is, whether they're safe or not, right? And so what these Explora watches do, it was super simple to add them to our phone plan. We got a SIM card. We installed that SIM card, added it to our phone plan, and it just allows us to stay connected. And what it does for the kids, it incentivizes them and encourages them to be active, which, you know, for me as a personal trainer and, you know, hosting this podcast, that's the whole point. Being active, being involved with your kids, setting that example and wanting them to do the same, to be active. You know, there's a step counter where both my kids, they go back and forth. How many steps do you have today? It's still exciting for them to kind of outdo each other with their steps. My son and one of his friends, they compare steps every day. And so they're always going back and forth. And in the Explora app, there's actually these Go Play challenges where, you know, the kids can earn coins for how many steps they take. And when you enroll them in these Go Play challenges, they can actually get a little bit of gamification and win prizes. So, you know, it's helping us as parents stay connected to our kids. It's helping us keep them safer by knowing where they're at and being connected with them. It's helping the kids be active. It's helping the kids be curious. It's got a camera that the kids can use. So just exploring their world around them and being adventurous and knowing that, hey, mom and dad can find you and message you and tell you to come home when dinner's ready. So go check out Explora and all the great things that they have. It's shop.myexplora.com. That information is in the show notes if you want to go check those out. All right. So today, guys, on the show is Dr. Joe Newsma. Now, Joe is the CEO and chief toxicologist at Superior Toxicology and Wellness, actually based right here in Colorado, where I am currently broadcasting this little podcast of mine. But he's got 30 years of toxicology research experience, And he's really seen the, I'll say, the backside of the pharmaceutical industry. And this is an interesting episode, guys, because he's an opinionated man. He's got some thoughts, right? And you're going to hear those thoughts in this conversation about just unnecessary prescription drugs, the medical field in general. And he's got some very, very hardline thoughts and opinions on that. We talk about gut and joint health, the power of positive thinking, how we can self-heal and move away from drugs and their harmful side effects. We talk about the importance of water. There's a lot of information in this episode, and I challenge Dr. Joe on several of his thoughts. You'll hear that in this episode. And I encourage you all to do your own research with everything that you hear. One thing that I do want to point out, he mentions that there are communities in Florida that, based on this, it's twin oxide water purification system. I don't even know if I'm detailing that right, but I did my own research into it. Nothing bad has happened yet from what I can tell in the news articles that I've read. And I say yet, I don't know that something bad will happen, but there was some controversy around it. But he makes the claim, Dr. Joe, in this article, that these two communities have not experienced any COVID cases. I can't confirm that. So you're going to hear him talk about that. I can't confirm it. I tried to. So make your own judgments, make your own opinions. And with any of this, if you want to implement any of this, please do your own research first and foremost. Nothing that is on this is something that I'm advocating you go and do. I'm just bringing you the information and using this show of mine as the medium for that. So it is a really interesting, fun, wide-ranging, and at times, perhaps controversial conversation with Dr. Joe, but I enjoyed it. And I think he did bring some really good points to the show, and I'll let you decide what those are for yourself. I'm going to stop yapping. Let's actually get into it. Here is my conversation, guys, with Dr. Joe Newsma. Toxicology. How does one decide, hey, this is an area of study that interests me, that I want to focus on? What led you down the path of getting into the field of work that you're in now?
Sure, absolutely. I can handle that one. I got a PhD in toxicology, and now I've racked up about 30 years of experience in human exposure to drug products and to chemical agents and to microbials. And really, I've always spent my time looking for a better way. And you can fill in the rest of that sentence is, you know, a better way to do what we're doing, a better way to get around the block, a better way, you know, just always a better way. And I grew up the son of an oral surgeon. So he was a dentist in the medical field. And I figured that I would follow my father's footsteps into the medical field and went to undergraduate school in pre-med. So, you know, I have a biology and chemistry background in pre-med, and in the late 80s, early 90s, when I applied to medical school, it was the big diversity pitch, and they weren't interested in white males that had average MCAT scores and really not a whole host of extracurricular activities. So when I applied to 8 medical schools and 2 graduate programs, I got into 2 graduate programs. And I was working for Dow Chemical at the time doing registration studies on herbicides and pesticides and in Midland, Michigan. And, you know, I was working with a bunch of PhDs. So they said, well, you know, yeah, go to graduate school and then come back and work for us. So, you know, there I was in Michigan. I had gone to undergraduate in Michigan, and I got into a graduate program in Virginia, and I got into a graduate program in Colorado, and my brother lived in Colorado, so I headed out to Colorado. And I did a research project that was all about butadiene, which is really an intermediate, and anything that's rubber or plastic, it has a potential to come in contact with butadiene. And that's a little 4-carbon compound that has 2 carbon double bonds in it. So the human body grabs a hold of that and turns it into lots of different metabolites, some of which could be exquisitely toxic, and some of them could be very benign. And what I did was I figured out which ones were the exquisitely toxic ones and why. And it turned out to be stereochemistry. And really, that's a fancy word to say how side chains attach to carbon molecules. And that orientation matters. So that was the basis of my PhD thesis. But, you know, when I got done with that, it was perfect research. Dow loved it. They wanted me to come back. They would have given me a job back in Michigan. But coming out to Colorado, I don't know where you sit, Michael.
I'm in Colorado.
Oh, okay. Hey, close enough.
Yeah.
You could actually see the sun between November and April.
Yes.
And
I'm a Midwesterner by birth, so I know what you're saying there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, in those Midwestern states, they actually have what they call seasonal affective disorder, where you don't get enough sunshine and it affects the space between your ears. And so when I got out to Colorado and realized that wintertime doesn't have to be cold, gray, and covered in ice 100% of the time, I'm like, who the hell would ever move back to Michigan? So I came out here, you know, both of my kids are now Colorado natives. And when I got done with the graduate school routine, I applied for one job. I started working in the pharmaceutical industry. And, you know, I've spent a good long time in the pharmaceutical industry, made a good living on it, but I'm the first one to tell you drugs are not the answer. When I was working as a toxicologist, it was an occupational toxicologist in the pharmaceutical industry. What that means is basically my charge was to make sure that the employees working in the plants that made the tablets and capsules weren't getting hurt by the chemicals that they were handling on a daily basis. And in the pharmaceutical industry, it's unique because the chemicals you're handling are designed to have an effect on the human body. So what that means is if the person or people that are working with these products in the plants that are making the tablets, making the capsules, provide a pathway of exposure, 100 times out of 100, those drugs are going to have that designed effect. And a pathway of exposure, you know, that's a fancy toxicological term for how a drug or a chemical gets from outside the body to inside the body. And you can have that via inhalation. So then it goes from your lungs into the rest of your circulation. You can have that via ingestion. That means you eat it, whether it's on purpose or most often inadvertent. And you can have it by skin absorption. It's all based on chemistry of these chemical products. And it was my job to make sure that those pathways of exposures were blocked. And that I set a level, we called it an occupational exposure level, that when they did industrial hygiene, workplace monitoring, that the levels of exposure for these employees weren't going to increase any risk of adverse effects. So that was really, well, as an extension, I mean, there's some backstory too, but that was really one of the main things of finding a better way that people can do their job and go home with all the physical capabilities that they got to work with in the morning. And then over time in the pharmaceutical industry, the other value that came into play was something called an ADE, acceptable daily exposure. And what this is, Michael, it's the amount of drug A that can be found in drug B before it's a problem for the person that takes the drug. Now just think about that. Pharmaceutical companies know that what they're making isn't all just drug A. And they have a plan in place to say we can have up to X amount of drug B in this drug A product. Hmm. Now think about that. Because if someone's allergic to drug B and there's a trace of it, you're going to elicit an allergic response. You know, so the better way there is, you know, you got to keep these drug products separate. And I worked in for, you know, one of the behemoths, Novartis. Most people have heard of Novartis. I worked in Novartis generics. And what that means is under one house, you know, one roof, we had 100 different products. So it was part of our job to make sure that those products stayed separate and make sure that everybody who was making it weren't hurt or injured for these products. And there's some, you know, there's some dangerous things that we did, and there's mostly routine things that we did. You know, one of the most dangerous drug products that we handled at that drug place was a drug that the generic name is called alprazolam. And the brand name is called Xanax. Most people have heard of Xanax. It's the little drug that's anti-anxiety that lets people cope with life. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so many things I got. I need a little Xanax. Help me sleep. Help me get through the day. Well, Xanax is a drug product that only has 1 to 2% active ingredient in the final formulation, which means 98 to 99% of that tablet is just inactive ingredients. That's how powerful this is. And when I was working in the pharmaceutical plant, one of the samplers that took samples of all of the stuff that came in they'd open up a drum of 100% active and take a little sample of it for quality control purposes to make sure what's in that drum is supposed to be what's in that drum. Well, he got a little wisp of a puff of this powder into his sinuses, into his nose, and he wasn't wearing proper PPE. It put him in the ICU for 5 days. So these drug products, you know, they do, don't get me wrong, they do wonderful things for specific causes or specific effects. But if anybody's ever listened to a drug product advertisement, they got that fast lawyer speak at the end of it.
Yep.
That's the dangerous part. That's really the dangerous part about what else this drug product could do. We want it to do one thing, and it changes lives. It increases standard of living. It really does wonderful things. But it's all of those other things that the drug products do, which then go the other way. So there's a mantra in the pharmaceutical industry that's called today's side effects lead to tomorrow's therapies. And if one of the poster children for that is Merck's Propecia, started its life as a prostate cancer drug, something near and dear to every male on the planet, you know, because if anything's not right in that region, we pay attention. It's that simple. Well, during the clinical trials for Propecia, all of these guys that were taking this drug for prostate cancer started growing hair. So now Propecia is marketed for male pattern baldness. Simple as that.
There's so much there that I want to unpack, but I want to start with this because this jumps right off the screen for me and listening and hearing you talk about this. When did your desire, as you said, to find a better way and create a better way begin to come in conflict with the things that you were seeing in your everyday role working for a pharmaceutical company? Or did it come into conflict?
It really took about 6 years of working for the pharmaceutical company to realize that Dr. Joe's mouth isn't synonymous with existence in corporate America. You know, these corporate companies, they do roll out these little programs and platforms and ask people's opinions and what they actually think. They don't care what their employees think, and they don't want to hear it. But I'm the kind of guy that if you ask me the question, whether it's an opinion or facts, and I'll let you know which it is, I'm going to tell you. So about 6 years in, I got out of the corporate America business and started my own practice, which is Superior Toxicology and Wellness. And it was then that I really started to hone in on my practical approach to health and wellness and everything that that can destroy human lives and how to counter that. So really, it's after I got out of the corporate rat race and I started working for myself. You know, working for yourself, it's higher risk, higher reward. You have great years, you have horrible years, but most of them are pretty average. And you get by, you pay your bills, you put a little aside, and you watch kids grow up. And if you can actually do that, that's a successful career. So, and what I've then done is I've kept several pharmaceutical clients. But then on the side of that, I've always been a serial entrepreneur. There's always another iron in the fire. And that even started way back in graduate school. You know, I'd be doing my own research and stuff, but, you know, someone else would have a research problem and I can help you with that. And it would become a little business, you know, get a little side income and stuff. But, you know, then I found, I hooked up with some real smart scientists and we put together some protocols on some electronics, really cool things. And then, as it turned out, you know, we ended up hooking a VC out of New York, and in 2.5 years, we filed for 35 patents, got 23 of them. We put 4 or 5 products on the market, and there was 3 founders in that. And one founder was almost immediately misaligned and just went and did his own thing. And then I was the next founder that was kind of kicked to the curb. The VC came in and made us go from 1 project to 12 projects and 5 employees to 33 employees. I got real good at firing people. And then it really got down to 7 employees left. And then the remaining founder signed everything over to the VC guy. And now he owns it all. And I chalk it up to business experience. Right. So, but it was a better way to do several things in that arena. And then the other founder that was involved with that company found another product that was called, it's called Twin Oxide. And it's a chlorine dioxide product. And when you pull chlorine out of treating water and add chlorine dioxide or twin oxide in its place, you don't form disinfection byproducts because there's no free chlorine in the chlorine dioxide, and you remove carcinogens from the end point of drinking water. And that's a better way. That's a better way to treat drinking water. And the other thing that chlorine dioxide does is it strips the biofilm out of your distribution network. So that's really where my better way matured, because I'm still involved with Twin Oxide and I'm still telling everybody that listens that you can remove carcinogens from your drinking water for just pennies more in a gallon. Because the drinking water industry is gripped by the decision makers, which are engineers and bean counters. And these municipalities, these people that are making these decisions, the engineers that run the show and the bean counters that say how much they can spend on the show, they think the general public doesn't care that there's a little bit of carcinogens in their drinking water. When we bring the story in a grassroots way to the general public does care. And the general public does say, I am more than willing to throw a couple pennies a gallon to get rid of carcinogens. The reason for that, Michael, is we live in a soup of toxic exposure. If we are surrounded by 10 things that have a way to hurt us every single day, but we have the capacity to eliminate one of them, should we do it? Yes, absolutely we should, because we're going to be better off. And as the toxicology mantra is, you know, besides the dose makes the poison, you know, and that's a principle that says something that's exquisitely toxic like cyanide, if the exposure is in low enough concentrations, it will be non-toxic. And something that's supposed to be very non-toxic like water, if the exposure is high enough, it can be very toxic. And the demonstrative story in that is the toxic mechanism of a drug of abuse called ecstasy. Mm-hmm. And it's very popular with young people in raves. Ecstasy in some people elicit an extreme thirst reaction. And that extreme thirst forces the person who's taken ecstasy to drink water to excess. And then that dilutes your body's electrolytes and it disrupts your cell-to-cell communication. And it causes toxicity and it could be fatal. So that's the dose makes the poison.
Yeah.
But the other mantra that I like to talk about as a toxicologist is everything in moderation. So
right.
That's where it comes into play. If you're in a soup of toxic exposure, if you're doing everything in moderation, most of the time you're going to be okay. And that's a lot of the basis of my advice to people that I interact with in the wellness side of my practice. You know, I have the hints for what you can do with water, what you can do with food, what you can do with exercise, what you can do with air, and all of this stuff. And everything in moderation really toes the line to get people where they need to go. and you know, and it's always followed by, it's a process. It's not flipping a switch. And you probably know that, that if it takes you 50 years to get as fat as you are, it's going to take more than a month to get you unfat.
Very true. Dr. Joe, you mentioned earlier biofilm in your distribution network. That went completely over my head. Can you explain that for me?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Have you ever cut a pipe in any old house or something where you feel the slime on the inside of the pipe?
Yes.
That's biofilm.
Okay.
What that means is the water is treated at the water plant with chlorine usually, and it kills everything in that water. And then they send it out to everybody's house through pipes. Every single pipe has biofilm. And all of the stuff that they just killed at the water plant lives in that biofilm and goes right back in the water.
Gotcha.
The older the pipes are, the more biofilm that's there. And the thing about it, chlorine doesn't touch biofilm. Biofilm is a protective layer that the bacteria secrete and build up. It gives them hiding places from the disinfectants. Chlorine dioxide sloughs off the soft biofilm almost immediately, and with continued use, cleans off all the hard biofilm too. We have a client, it's a beef ranch out in Colorado on the Eastern Plains, that they have over 30 miles of water pipes on their cattle ranch, and they were having pipe breaks almost weekly. And what was going on is the biofilm that had built up in their distribution system, these bacteria would create a little microenvironment that had a lot of acid. And the acid was eating the glue joints at the PVC pipes. And we told them, yeah, you start running twin oxide, you'll see a lot. Not only will the water quality go up and it'll help your cattle, but you won't have any more pipe breaks. And, you know, he looked at us kind of cross-eyed, and he put it in at probably 2/3 of the way through last summer, hasn't had a pipe break since. And the fact of the matter is, the same thing could happen in these big city municipalities. The running twin oxide in these water systems not only reduces or eliminates the disinfection byproducts, but it increases infrastructure. And it's a parameter that's hard to measure, and therefore a parameter that's extremely hard to sell to engineers. But it's still a better way to do it.
Sure.
And so, and if you think about it, biofilm, it applies to humans too. You know, because I think that there's medical conditions where you get buildup in your blood vessels. You know, you got your plaques and stuff, and a lot of it is coming from sitting around too much, not walking around the block, not moving what mass you've built up over time. And they have a word for it. It's called type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And I think that the bacterial populations get off balance in the body, and you have a propensity to develop these linings on the blood vessels. So, and if there was chlorine dioxide in the water, then it would also help the body and the GI tract to keep the right populations of bacteria growing in the right amounts in your gut.
Has that been studied? Has that been proven? Like that would have that effect just from using, what is it? Twin oxide, is that what you called it?
No,
in water?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
It's a theory at this point, okay. But I know for a fact that the communities in the state of Florida where we're running twin oxide in the water, hasn't been a single confirmed case of COVID.
Really?
How cool is that?
What communities are those?
One of them is called Wedgefield, and one of them is called Magnolia Village.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Huh.
I mean, it's really that good. I mean, it is a small molecule therapy. It's chlorine dioxide, you know, and it's really one of the world's best oxidants.
And it's non-toxic to humans. And it's non-toxic to humans.
Well, if you take enough of it, the dose makes the poison.
There you go.
But humans can consume it. The drinking water limit is 0.8 parts per million. And the good bacteria in your gut dies about 400 to 600 parts per million. And there's all kinds of evidence that it improves animal health and stuff. We use it in in-life chicken houses. We run it in the water lines, and the chickens are healthier. You can eliminate antibiotics. And in the United States, chicken farms aren't allowed to use antibiotics anymore. So really, the institution of twin oxide in the water treatment side of things would provide a lot of benefits in a lot of areas. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I've gravitated to over my course, my career of finding a better way to do things, you know. And then the other thing that I would mention is polypharmacy. You find people that are on many prescription drug products.
And very, most people, very prevalent in the United States, for sure. Yeah.
Wake up one day and just say, why am I on so many drug products? Everybody has those little pill containers that's got the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday flaps. They got their morning pills. They got their night pills. And usually what happens is one doctor puts them on one, two, or three meds. They go to a different doctor or something else, and that doctor puts them on one, two, or three meds. And Dr. One never talks about what Dr. Two is doing, and Dr. Two never talks about what Dr. One is doing. And then because they're on these three meds, something else is coming up, a side effect. So Dr. One puts them on a drug to treat that side effect. And the thing about it is doctors really aren't about curing anything. Doctors are about creating long-term customers. So if you can get a patient on a drug that they got to take the rest of their life, that's income. And unfortunately, there's a lot of doctors that think like that. So what I offer in a HOPE program, that's Health Optimization Prescription Evaluation, on my website, you can fill out a form that tells me what the drug history is, what you're on, what the dose is, how long you've been on it, what you think it does, what you think it does that it shouldn't do. And I do an extensive drug analysis and provide you with a list of questions to return to your physician and essentially say, prove that I need to be on this medication. One of the last evaluations I did, there was the client was on 12 medications and 17 supplements. That's crazy. And upon evaluation, there were 5 therapeutic agent areas where she was on multiple drugs per area. So I was able to help this person quite a bit with questions to go back and say, do I really need to be on this? And, you know, your podcast being, you know, Fit Dad Fitness, one of the worst things is inactivity for the human body. We were not designed to sit in front of computers at desks all day long, every day.
That's part of my
whole
message.
Just wasn't supposed to be
yeah.
that way.
Right.
And as the information age has taken over, what we see is an onset of the inactivity diseases. And then with processed foods and carbohydrates and sugars, we really see the onset of obesity. You know, the obesity, the number one enemy for obesity really has to be sugar, you know, and that's sugar of all forms. That's your high fructose corn syrup. That's your sugar cane sugar, the sugar that's been added to everything processed since about World War II has really driven the waistlines to just balloon out beyond recognition. And with that obesity comes the diabetes, and unfortunately they feed on each other. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're probably very familiar with this, the what happens with insulin resistance and then more insulin, and insulin drives more obesity. And I mean, treating type 2 diabetes by driving up insulin rates it's like fighting a fire with gasoline. So all of this stuff comes into play, and all of this stuff comes into finding a better way. And then by offering people a service of saying, let's look at the drug products you're on and figure out if we can get you off of some of those drug products, then the bottom line is providing a pathway for individuals to start taking steps in the direction of taking control of their own personal wellness again. Because most people find themselves on multiple drug products, find themselves overweight and have absolutely no way of getting out of that.
A two-part question here, and I want to kind of challenge you on something that you've said up to this point. Do you really believe that the majority of doctors, or I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you said doctors are just seeking long-term clients or long-term patients?
Right.
Is that really what you believe? Is that really what we see out there? And in the second part of the question, how does somebody who has issues that they're taking medication for look at what they're taking with an eye towards maybe skepticism or, sure. How do they approach that conversation with their doctor appropriately if what you are saying is true?
Right. Okay. Well, two completely different questions.
Very, very different questions.
We'll start on the first one. I think Western physicians are arrogant. Western trained physicians are mostly arrogant. And there's exceptions to the rule. But they have one semester of pharmacology in their medical school training. And I feel that most of them are only as smart as the latest drug rep that sat across their desk. And I feel they're arrogant because Western-trained physicians ignore thousands of years of experience in natural product medicine available from the Far East that your holistic practitioners rely on first. And the problem is most of those physicians don't realize, because they've just never taken the time to figure it out, that the active ingredients in today's pharmaceutical products are mostly plant-based. They come from the same natural products that have been around for thousands of years. So the physicians creating long-term customers is just because they think that they're doing a very valuable service for their patients because they're treating symptoms. And that makes people's day-to-day lives better. And the way the American medical system is set up in the right now, physicians don't have time with individual patients in that room to really dig into a root cause analysis. They know why the person came to the office. They know what they're complaining of. They know what they can prescribe to make that better and send them off and see the next person. The system is set up for physicians to not really practice medicine. And that maybe that's a better way to explain what I mean with physicians creating long-term customers. They think they're doing good things for their patients, but they could do better. Who doesn't fall into that trap?
What you just said and how you phrased that resonates with me and my family so much, because my wife is going through a years-long process right now where certain foods that she used to be able to eat, it just tears her apart. And she's gone to different
probably
doctors.
Probably food allergy.
Right. And she's gone to different doctors. And what you just said, none of them take the time with her. She's in the doctor's office or in the little room where you're sitting on the paper for 5 minutes. They throw a drug or they throw a prescription at her and she's out the door. And there's no exploration of that. So how you phrase that is, at least in my acute family experience, resonate with that.
And the thing about the food, it is so complex.
Right.
If you think about it, there's a very common problem in the world called latex allergy. Have you heard of that one?
Mm-hmm.
That's where people get a rash when they put on rubber gloves, and it's very common in the medical communities. But did you know that more times than not, people that are latex allergic can get a cross sensitivity to things like strawberries or kiwi fruit?
No.
The human immune system is so complex. It's awesome when it works right, but when it gets out of whack, people don't give it the credit that it needs for messing up people's lives. An allergy is just an immune system that's a little bit out of whack. And that's the problem, that there's very distant and intricate connections that have to be figured out. The best thing that I would recommend is for your wife to keep a food diary. Figure out what triggers what symptoms. Because I have the same things. If I eat black beans, I can't get to the toilet fast enough.
Beans are on that list. Yep.
And I used to grow up eating blueberries by the handful. If I eat them now, straight on through.
Really? Mm.
And then there's some oils that just don't agree with me either. I haven't narrowed down which oils it is, but I tell you what, I know when I get one by mistake. And it sucks.
Yeah.
But that's just it's a reality of having to deal with listening to your body, because you have to be your own best advocate in a medical situation.
And that goes to my second question. How do we be our best advocate for ourselves, either in or out of a doctor's office?
Right. Well, I mean, today the internet is a wonderful trove of information. And today the internet is a wonderful trove of disinformation.
It could be a cesspool and a glimmering pool.
And the key is to figure out which trees to look at when you're admiring the forest. So, you know, what I do is anything drug related, you can go to drugs.com. Excellent resource. And if you want one that's a little bit more professional oriented, you go to dailymed.com. And dailymed.com is actually run and operated by the National Institutes of Health, NIH. And both of them have sections on every drug that you can read this if you have some scientific training, or you can read this if you don't have any scientific training. That's the first step, really. And then you have to put in the time and you have to do the reading and you have to find somebody that you trust to bounce the initial lining of questions off of, because then you know what questions to ask your physician. And that could be your pharmacist. I mean, you can't really go to the chains, the CVS's and Walgreens. Their pharmacists are so busy there and there's so few of them. If you can find an independent pharmacy, that would be perfect. If you can find a hospital that has a pharmacy, you know, that would be perfect. But that's what I would recommend, is you do the research and you do the Googling to look for different ways to do the same thing. Say, for instance, somebody is on an antidepressant, Prozac. Everybody's heard of Prozac. Half the world is on it, right? I believe it's a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. What does that mean? That's a big fancy science word for it changes your brain chemistry. Yeah. All right. And it leaves neurotransmitter in that little spot where the nerves come together so that they can talk to each other longer. That's really how it works. But most people don't realize that, you know, antidepressants, you could get yourself off antidepressants by buying a dog. Because there is actual scientific evidence to support that when somebody buys a dog and is now responsible for another sentient being on this rock, that their brain chemistry changes because they are responsible for every aspect of another life. And buying a dog also helps with that fat ass condition that everybody has because we eat too many Doritos, because the dog likes to go around the block. And if you buy the dog to kick the antidepressants, it's also going to keep those type 2 diabetes drugs at bay, because you're going to get more exercise.
You're going to get more vitamin D too.
What's that?
You're going to get more vitamin D too.
Exactly. Everybody's heard the adage that if your dog is fat, you don't get enough exercise.
I've heard that and read actually that most antidepressants are wildly ineffective, and yet they continue to be prescribed. Have you heard that? You just said that's correct. Can you dive into that a little bit more? Because that, I think, is
absolutely correct.
There's so much prescription of antidepressants. Yeah.
Well, every single person that writes down the drugs they're on, if I find that they're on antidepressants, I immediately go after, how can you get off of this antidepressant? Why are you on it? You need to dive deep into your own mind, the 6 inches between your ears, and figure out, why am I on this drug? and figure out if it was a crutch for something that was just temporary. And now that that whole trauma is gone in your life. See, the thing is with antidepressants, it takes a while to change the brain chemistry. And things get worse before they get better, which is why if somebody is suicidal, the worst thing you can do is start them on an antidepressant. Mm. Because the first thing that that drug does is it makes them feel worse. Mm. And if they have an opportunity, they're going to do it. And unfortunately, it takes weeks, not days, weeks for these antidepressants to kick in and make those changes. Because what's going on is you're changing the structure of the biochemistry. You're actually upregulating or downregulating actual receptors that the drug products go to find to get the cell-cell communications to a point that says, hey, feel better. And the fact of the matter is they're psychotic drugs. They're the typical word for it is psychotropic.
Yep.
Okay, that just means it affects your mind. And everybody is different. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. And it's a crapshoot when they put someone on these drug products. And they have several different classes of them, but they all change aspects of the brain chemistry. And you don't know who's going to react violently, who's going to react well, who's going to react quickly, or who's going to react slowly. So that's the problem, where if you're going to introduce these antidepressants, there has to be constant communication, a counseling, a support system, or something else that's on there. And you really have to evaluate why you're doing it. Is the risk worth the reward in that case? And that's why I say, buy a dog. I mean, it's unconditional love. And the other, I guess it's perfect time as any to get into another little thing that we can. I think all living things on this planet are connected. I think there's a collective conscious that everything that's living is exposed to, but 99% of those beings have absolutely no idea how to tap into it. I'm in the 99%. I have some friends that we can walk into a room and they can look around the room and they'll tell you what color aura people are putting off. And they're the ones that say positive thinking will generate positive effects in one's life. They're the ones that say what you project to the universe will return. And I've dabbled in that with, you know, how I think about different things. And I pay extremely close attention to what happens and trends. And I buy into that 100%. I absolutely think that a positive mental attitude is key to getting through whatever trials and tribulations that are laid upon your shoulders by this universe. So the fact of the matter is, buying that dog is changing your brain chemistry through a different mechanism. And do you really need the drug product? Do you really need something that, if you dig into the drug literature, there's a lot of things that they don't know about those drug products. And the biggest flag is when they say the mechanism of action is unknown. Hmm. We know this drug helps people, but we don't know how. Here, take it. Who would do that?
Dr. Joe.
And there's a lot of them.
How do you, with the people that you work with to try and get them off of prescription drugs, how do you help them overcome the thought process that they need it, that this is the
that
thing
they
that's
trust their
them.
Doctor 100% and know that those decisions are going to be worthwhile for them?
Yeah.
How do you get over that inertia?
How do you get over that that hold? I got to believe there's a tug there, there's a hold there that people say, I can't do this because this is what's this is how I get through.
Right. Well, you got to provide alternatives. You got to paint a different picture for the people that drug products in most cases are crutches. And if you can provide a different way to show that people can walk and survive and maybe even learn to run, then you're going to be better off and giving them an alternative path. And you got to remember that not everybody's going to take it. It's like offering another refill on your cup of coffee at the diner in the morning. You want another cup of coffee? You want another cup of coffee? Some people say yes, some people say no. But You still offer the alternative. You still offer the different way to do what they need to have done. It's like the pre-diabetes drugs. You know, you're getting a little thick, so the physician says, well, I want to put you on a statin. You know, lovastatin, pravastatin, there's lots of them out there. And these statin drugs, you know, it's for the nerds that are listening, it's an HMGA CoA reductase inhibitor, and it stops your body from making cholesterol. That's how it lowers cholesterol, stops you from making it. But what they don't tell you about all of these statins is that it wrecks your liver. The other thing they don't tell you about these statins is, in some cases, it starts breaking down your skeletal muscle. And if you're unlucky enough to have that reaction and your skeletal muscle piece by piece is getting dumped into your blood system or into your urine, and then your kidneys are trying to pull all this proteinaceous material out of your urine, and it wrecks your kidneys, all because your doctor thought you were getting a little heavy and didn't have the spine to say, you need to walk around the block at least, you know, once every couple of days instead of sitting, watching TV and eating a whole bag of Doritos when you do it. So the fact of the matter is it's all about lifestyle change. It's all about agreeing to the first step. You know, like I say to, I've said to a lot of people, it's like, look, we can evaluate your drugs. And then you go and you talk to your doctor. And when you say, prove that I need to be on these drugs, it's going to be up to you to get off. If my doctor told me he wanted to put me on pre-diabetic medicines and statins, I would say, doc, give me 6 weeks. I'm going to do something different. I don't want to take those drugs. And you know what you do? You cut out a lot of the processed foods. You eat a lot more raw foods. You eat an apple, not a bag of chips. You eat broccoli, not a can of whatever it is you find in the middle of the grocery store. You shop the perimeter of the grocery store. You ever heard that phrase?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you eat whole raw foods. And you get rid of the sugared drinks. You know, no more sweet tea, no more Coca-Cola, no more Mountain Dew. That's evil. Drink green tea. Drink water. You know, I have a son who's 19 years old, and he's an elite level hockey player. And he gets on my case every time I order anything but water. He's like, Dad, drink water, drink water. And 3-4 years ago, I was hooked on Red Bull. Talk about bad stuff. Mm-hmm. I got off of Red Bull by using Coca-Cola. And I got off of Coca-Cola by using, it's a brand of drinks that I find only at Walmart. It's actually called Limitless. It's flavored waters that has 35 milligrams of caffeine in it. And those are perfect because it's just a little bit of off flavor that it's not just water. So you avoid the boringness, but I'm not on Red Bull anymore and I'm not on Coke anymore. It makes a huge difference. And it's the steps. It's the first step. And then for battling your fat, weak body because you haven't exercised in 25 years. Well, what I challenge people to do is I say, try to do 100 body weight squats over the course of 24 hours. What do you mean? Get up from your chair, sit back down, get up from your chair, sit back down, get up from your chair, sit back down, and count them and write them down. If you can do 10 at a time, do that 10 times a day. If you can do 30 at a time, do that 3.5 times a day. If you don't write them down, it doesn't happen. And then once you get your legs feeling, it takes about a week, and then you're like, wow, I'm making big progress. Because you haven't done anything in 25 years, big progress doesn't take that much effort, but it's the first step. So you get your drugs evaluated. You might be able to get off of some of these things. You buy that dog, you start walking around the block, and then you start working on body weight things like the squats. And then, you know, lean up against your desk and crank out 10 push-ups and add in 100 desk push-ups with your 100 body weight squats. You do that for 30 days, I guarantee you, you're going to feel the difference in your, you know, your soft, pushy body is going to become a little bit less soft. And the battle has begun. You've taken the first couple steps towards grabbing that control over your personal wellness. And the thing about it is it's little things that you can do, you know? And you can't do everything at once. If you change too much, you're setting yourself up for failure. And it's never going to work. Never. Because you say, okay, I'm going to cut out sugar and I'm not going to drink any more Coke and no more processed foods. That's going to last about 3 hours. Especially now.
Right.
This is the worst time of year to try anything, because from Halloween to Valentine's Day is make your fat ass fatter with all kinds of candy from the grocery stores. Look at the marketing.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they pack on the calories like crazy from this time of year till about February. And you got to be Superman to avoid it. You know, I mean, it's absolutely impossible to hand out candy to trick-or-treaters at your door without eating at least a half a dozen of those damn things.
It's the willpower a lot of us don't have.
And the thing about it is, you got to deal with it. You got to roll with the punches. Okay, the only thing you can hope for is to be better tomorrow than you were today.
Yeah.
My downfall? I like to have a beer with my buds. And I got a lot of buds. But you can't, I mean, you can't stop living life. You just can't do it. And there's other things you can do to make those steps a little more bearable. You know, go one thing at a time. It took me a long time to get off of Red Bull. And the withdrawal headache is not something I would want to give to anybody. Mm-hmm. But then it was Coke. And then I got off Coke. But if you keep taking those steps, it's possible. It's possible, you know. And then the other thing with I got my best friend that's his genetics predispose him to high blood pressure. And I introduced him to a product that's I'll tell you about it in a minute. He takes that product. He doesn't take any therapeutic for high blood pressure. No drug product whatsoever. He controls it with a natural product. I got another friend of mine who is a retired OBGYN physician, who was beginning to suffer from macular degeneration. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
It's a progressive condition where your field of vision, you go blind, and it's all based in oxidative stress, and there is no cure for it. Well, this physician didn't believe that and started using this product I'm gonna tell you about. And not only did her macular degeneration stop in progression, but it reversed. And she has eye doctors' exams before and after to show that it's completely reversed and gone. And that eye doctor really broke his arm, patting himself on the back for the good thing that he did treating her untreatable disease. You know, this product is Carbon 60. And if you type in Carbon 60, you'll find thousands of different products on the internet. The one I like the best is called C60 Complete by Live Longer Labs. And you can go to c60complete.com. It combines carbon 60, which is the world's best antioxidant. It combines it with black seed oil and curcumin, two natural products that are tremendously powerful. And if you put C60, curcumin, and black seed oil into the NIH database, you'll find over 25,000 hits of beneficial therapeutic results that you get from these three therapeutic products. And Live Longer Labs actually put them into one product. And when I am recommending people to get off of drug products, especially high blood pressure drug products and lots of other ones, this supplement, this product comes into play and really can change lives and quality of life. The guy that invented the product actually made it because his mother was in beginning stages of dementia and Alzheimer's. So you had some mental decline conditions coming in. Well, he made this product and gave it to his mother, and she got 7 more years of complete mental clarity, zero effects. We've seen people with Parkinson's disease take this product and tremor goes away. We've seen people, it's organ protective for liver and for kidneys and for heart and for cardiovascular systems. That's why it works for blood pressure. It's actually, the two natural products are very anti-carcinogenic, and they're antibiotic and antiviral. So I got both of my 80-year-old mom and dad on these, and they're convinced that because they're taking C60 complete that they haven't succumbed to any of the little seasonal common colds or more serious viruses that are supposedly floating around. And it's one of those products that you got to just try it and see what it does for you. You know, I take it. You know how you blink your eyes and you sometimes see those floaties in your field of vision?
Yeah.
Those go away immediately when I start taking C60. For me, I find that I sleep better. I don't need as much sleep. And my energy levels are through the roof. And my mom had two knee replacements. The first time she did it without being on C60. The second time she did it on C60, and she saw less pain, less swelling, less inflammation, and she progressed through her physical therapy and healing a lot faster. So, you know, that's you can get it at C60 Complete if you want to try it. There's a coupon code. If you put in Dr. Joe 5, DRJOE number 5, you get $5 off. But it's also something that you can do all your own research. You don't have to believe me. You can type in those three, carbon 60, black seed oil, and curcumin. And you can see what the scientific community has to say about that. So that's one of those baby steps that you can take to regain your own personal wellness. So when you start to combine all of these things, you know, you get your drugs evaluated and get off things that aren't useful. You get that dog, you're walking around the block, you're doing the squats, you're doing the push-ups. And then let's talk about your water. You know, if you can convince your town to use twin oxide, you're great because you won't have the carcinogens. But the best thing you can do that's cheap, get on Amazon, go to Walmart, find yourself a zero water filter. It costs like $30 or $35. It's a 7-stage filter that takes the chlorine out, takes the fluoride out, takes heavy metals out, and total dissolved solids. The actual zero water filter is sold with a total dissolved solids meter. And it tells you, test your water every so often, and when it gets to this value, change the filter.
Yeah, I have
one of those.
We have one.
So you love it. One.
Yeah.
That's one of the easiest things people can do to help their health and wellness, because everybody needs water. Right. And if you do that, you're pulling a lot of impurities out that otherwise the filter would be your liver. Really,
right?
When you think about it.
Yeah.
And the last thing, or one of the last things I want to talk about, is why C60 works. C60 is the world's best antioxidant. And the a side effect of breathing is oxygen radicals. The energy powerhouses, the mitochondria in the cell, when they're making energy for a human to be everything that is human, it spits out these little oxygen radicals, and your body is forever using antioxidants to squelch those things. It's like little needles that pokes holes in everything. But when you're using C60, you give your body this massive antioxidant, so your body squelches all of this oxidative stress using C60 instead of regular cellular defense mechanisms that your body then has in reserve to put to other uses. And the human body has a tremendous capacity to heal. And your body puts those resources that it now has because you're using C60 where it needs to go to heal. And your body knows where the critical areas are. If it's your liver, if it's your heart, if it's your blood vessels, it will heal those areas because you're giving the body the resources to fight the daily oxidative stress fight. That's why C60 is such an excellent product. Even if you don't want to use C60 Complete, you know, you can use C60 with they have oils, you know, olive oil, coconut oil, and avocado oil. Or if you don't like Live Longer Labs products, just look up C60 and find one that works for you. Because that is something that you can do to change your everyday outlook and really give your body a leg up to making you better. Because if you give it the tools it needs to build the wall, your body can build that wall and protect you from the toxic exposure soup that we all live in.
Fascinating stuff, Dr. Joe. I appreciate your time coming on the show today and explaining and walking through all this and even allowing me to challenge you a little bit here. last question for you. For the dad listening right now, what would be your final piece of advice you'd like to leave him with?
Get off the sugar, get on the water. That's one of the best things you can do.
I love the simplicity of that. As much as you have explained just huge words throughout all of this, to break it down to that, that's perfect, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, if you guys come up with questions and you want to dive deeper in any one of these subjects, I'm happy to come back and we can talk as long as you want about anything. And it's just, if we provide the better way and people actually grab hold and control and start the path, then we've made a difference today.
Fantastic stuff. Dr. Joe, how can people get a hold of you and get in touch with your work in case they want to follow along with what you're doing?
They can get a hold of me by going to my website, superiortoxicology.com. And if that's too hard to remember, just look up Dr. Joe for Hope. Dr. Joe for Hope, and you'll find that Hope program, and it's linked to my website, and you'll be able to find me. It's really, I'm here to help. And I'd love to fill that gap for people that feel like they don't have a way out.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. This was fun.
Many thanks to Dr. Joe Newsma for sharing his insight, his experience, his wisdom, and his story on the show today. Please do me and Dr. Joe a huge favor and share this episode with someone you know who might also find some value in listening to today's interesting conversation. Like I said, and again, I repeat, do your own research, make your own judgments. But, you know, this was, at the very least, I learned some new stuff that caused me to go and do some research of my own today. So I encourage you to do the same based on the conversation Dr. Joe and I just had. But guys, share this episode with your network. Help spread the good word about the importance of being an involved father. And if you like the conversations with the amazing guests like Dr. Joe that I have on each week, please be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Subscribing also helps the show gain more reach, and that's what we all want, to get to as many dads as possible. If you ever want to get in touch with me, you can always email me. It's michael@fitdadfitness.com, or go to fitdadfitness.com and you can reach out to me there. I'm going to catch you guys on the next episode of the Fit Dad Fitness Podcast. And until then, go out and live an active, involved, healthy life with your kids. And I'll catch you next time. Peace.